open the work session on House Bill 3108B.
Well, 3108 has been in here before. It deals primarily with rockfish and an intermediary permit for that. We also added an amendment to prohibit the harvest of krill, and we had to bring it back so we had to get a better definition of what krill is and where it's prohibited.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
I need somebody to pronounce the Latin word for it, or I'm not going to be able to support this bill at all. Unless someone here can.
Oh,
it looks like something to do with euthanasia.
That's Penny Krieger. You know the answer to that.
Well, if it was fish, yeah.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, my name is Kay Brown, for the record, with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and you pronounce it, Euthousands.
Euthousands. Euthousands of them.
Okay, any other questions?
I would just like to comment, Mr. Chair, that I think Senator Winters would appreciate this increased definition being in the bill. And with that, are we in work session?
We are in work session.
I move the dash B10 amendments into House Bill 3108, and that House Bill 3108, as amended, be moved to full ways and means with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Is there a discussion of the motion? Objection to the motion? Motion carries. Close the, let's see, we have carriers. Krieger and Senator Dukes with previously a carrier. That's it. We'll close the work session on House Bill 3108D. Open the public hearing on House Bill 2551A.
2551A would allow the Oregon Water Resource Department to enter into voluntary agreements, sometimes called receipt authority agreements, and establish fees to enable the improvement of services. What it basically does is allow them to take an application out of order at the request of the applicant, and the applicant would pay the cost of providing the services necessary to process that application.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, based on that explanation, I acknowledge that it's superficial just given the setting, but somehow this sort of has the faint whiff of queue jumping for the people that have enough money to queue jump. Explain to me why it isn't that.
We have the staff here that would hopefully answer that for you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Chair Meserly, Representative Johnson. I'm Adam Sussman with the Water Resources Department. You're right in that it would allow somebody in a certain circumstance to be taken out of the queue and moved into what I would deem a separate line. And I think the benefit, of course, for that individual is they get some expedited processing. But I think a side benefit is that the individuals in the queue all simply move up a step. So there's really two ways to think about it, I guess. Yes, it is queue jumping, but on the other hand, the folks in the normal queue have the ability to jump up a step.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What happens if I'm impecunious and everybody queue jumps ahead of me in both lines? I mean, because I'm impecunious, my expectation of a wait is necessarily longer? I'm just troubled by the fact that developers, and I don't say that in a pejorative sense, but well-financed corporations or individuals being taken in the separate line, I'm just trying to understand how long my wait as an individual applicant with no money. I understand that if you take all the people with means out of the line where the riffraff is, that eventually somebody gets to the front of the line. But explain to me why this is good policy.
Chair Meserly, Representative Johnson, again, I think there's a couple different ways to look at this. You take the people out of the queue, and I think that adding these additional resources to the department everybody wins. And I think the important part to remember is that by having this separate line does not detract in any way from the department's resources to process applications in the normal line, because the folks in the expedited line are paying the full freight of the cost of the processing. And so that allows the department to get additional resources to go ahead and process their application and not detract our ability to continue working with the folks in the, if we want to call it, the regular line. So they're not any worse off because someone's been moved into a different line. And, in fact, in most cases, they'll be better off because this receipts authority will likely handle very complex, complicated cases that tend to kind of clog up the queue, if you will. And I think the normal queue will continue to move at a quicker pace.
If I might try to clarify this by asking the question, because there's been no comment here about hiring extra staff or contracting out some of the work. I assume that if you're in this category, that the normal Water Resource Department staff will continue to move ahead of those that were already in the queue, and these funds will hire consultants or someone to move the special projects forward separate. Is that accurate?
Chair Metzley, that's absolutely correct. That, again, it's really adding additional resources that this applicant is providing to the department at no detriment or cost to the normal applicants, if you will.
But if there's no personnel added, the resources by themselves aren't going to help the situation. Is, I think, my concern, and what I'm hearing maybe from Representative Johnson as well.
Well, Senator Measurely, Representative Johnson, if I understand the question correctly, again, if the department enters into an agreement to process a complex application, that individual would pay the full cost of processing, and the department and that individual would enter into an agreement to have a third party working on that application, maybe a consultant, maybe the department would hire additional temporary staff so that we're not diminishing our resources to work on the rest of the applications within the department.
Well, the longer you talk, the unhappier I am with this. The purchasing of consultants, in my experience, one can pay for just about any outcome one wants. And what is now quite worrisome to me is when you said that it would go extra agency and go outside the agency. What's the process for selecting the consultant so you get a consultant that isn't biased for a particular outcome? And what decides the level of complexity that would thrust a case into this ability to pay for what could be perceived as preferential treatment?
Chair Measurely, Representative Johnson, thank you. Those are really good questions. And in terms of the process to select the consultants, the department really hasn't established that. There's different models. DEQ has a model where they typically hire retired staff to kind of come back who have expertise in certain fields. So they hire temporary staff. In the state of Washington, they have a rotating pool of consultants, so that's the model. So you don't necessarily choose your consultant. If you're the applicant, you just sort of get the next consultant in line. So there's different models, and we haven't, frankly, developed the model that we would use. And in terms of the process deciding the complexity, it's voluntary. It doesn't have to be a complex case. A very simple applicant can enter into this agreement as well as a complex one.
I'm sorry to be such a pill about this today, but I have this vision of going into my DMV office and I take my number and I'm number 10,000 and the little sign says now serving 5. But because I can reach into my pocketbook and grab a few extra bucks, all of a sudden I just catapulted to number 6. There's a perception problem that I'm having a very difficult time getting over. And I'm almost begging somebody to help me get over it. That we're not setting up a structure by which all of a sudden wealth would speak to level of service inside state agencies. First the water resources, where does it stop? And where pretty soon do we have two tiers of service, those that wait in line and those that reach into their pocketbook and go right to the front?
Chair Measurely, Representative Johnson, I'm not sure that I can sway or change the perception that you have. I think it's a valid perception. I can only just keep coming back to the point that in terms of the reality of how these things are processed, timely or not, that the folks in the regular line that don't take advantage of this are not disadvantaged, that the department's resources continue to get thrown at their applications.
I'll stop. I don't want to torture you, and sure. I don't want to exercise me anymore.
Professor Johnson, I just realized that I forgot to give you the bill. The bill requires the department to come up with criteria for determining who would be eligible, not on a case-by-case basis, but to come up with a criteria and process to use.
Representative Morgan.
Okay, Mr. Chair, just perhaps by way of adding more information, it's my understanding that we already have this process within other agencies, notably within the Department of Environmental Quality. And it has, I think, had the impact of speeding up. But what you're doing, I think, is creating another line where people pay the cost of going through the process in the second line, which I think does have the benefit to the people in the first line of taking some people out of it. So I do think that in terms of getting people through the process as quickly as you can, it is an option that has worked out in DEQ. I think that, you know, if you're bothered by the piece about people or applicants paying the cost of providing or to form the other line to have the capacity to be able to process their applications, that's one thing. But I do think that allowing a process to come into being that allows the formation of two separate lines does have the bottom line impact of speeding up the process.
If I could clarify, too, I was just informed by staff that the co-chairs allowed us to bring this bill forward only with a sunset, and they gave us the choice of the A3 or the A4, which is a two-year or a four-year sunset.
So this would essentially be a pilot type of project.
Representative Johnson.
In response to Representative Morgan's comments, and I'm not trying to be so difficult as to leave the impression that I don't intellectually understand this. There's still just something distasteful about it. And I guess it brings me to the question, why not give the agency the resources to keep the queue moving at a decent speed, and everybody just falls into line and you get dealt with regardless of the complexity of your case, regardless of your wealth? That we adequately fund the agency and just let the queue form as it may.
Jenny Morgan.
I would, with great respect again to Representative Johnson, in my way of thinking, that this is essentially what that does. It's a mechanism to allow that to happen. I mean, we are, of course, in the reality of the situation that general fund is at a premium, and we're right now arguing over whether we're going to put $5.05 billion into K-12 or 5.12 or 5.3 or whatever the number is going to end up being, and that the likelihood that we're going to be able to get any more general fund in this budget is probably somewhere hovering below zero right now. But we do have an issue with people being able to get through the process in a timely way. And this does present to people an opportunity to do that.
Okay, committee, what I'd like to do is we have two people signed up. And Adam, you are first on the list, and Christina McNett, would you like to come up and present?
Sure. Ask a couple of questions of the agency before
Senator Dukes.
He leaves? How many instances of this, of people using this or companies or whatever it is, do you anticipate, say, in the next 2 years?
Chair Measurely, Senator Dukes, it's a very difficult question to answer. I can only speculate, but I can tell you that we have a number of folks that are in our water right transfer process, per se, that would be very interested in using it, particularly some of the irrigation districts and others. We have
a number of people, 325?
Chair Measurely, Senator Dukes, I would say it would be closer to 25 than to 3.
Okay. My concern, Mr. Chair, is that There's no fiscal with this. I see no expenditure limitation that lets them spend the money that comes in. And so if there were only two people going to move from one queue to another, I wasn't, you know, that makes sense. But I'm maybe looking for some assurances that the money that comes in will be able to be spent in this biennium so that we don't end up in the with the problem of holding folks up in line, that you have the ability to go out and hire some consultants and move those people forward rather than accumulating a fund that we'll find some other use for next session.
I would assume they would come back to the e-board for limitation, but Ms. James, could you clarify that?
That is correct. Okay. Can we just give them one? I mean, I don't have any idea how much to give them at this point.
So we don't know what the criteria is. We don't know how the process is going to work, and we don't know how many people want to use it.
Committee, I think we're getting ahead of our presenters. Let's, if we're going to have questions for them, let's see their, hear their presentations first.
You've got constituents who'd like to use this.
I time. Do. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Christina McNitt, and this afternoon I'm representing the Oregon Water Resources Congress, which is a trade association representing farmers and water users inside organized districts like water control districts or irrigation districts. And we requested that this bill be drafted because we've had a positive working relationship with the Department of Environmental Quality on this type of process, developing NPDES permits for aquatic herbicides. And there wasn't a similar statutory authority for the Department of Water Resources, and we spoke with them about how that may or may not work, and they were interested in pursuing it this session. Representative Johnson and Senator Dukes, I've spoken with all of you in your offices about this bill, and I think that your concerns are fair, and you've both voiced them to me previously, and so it's not surprising us at all. We're just hoping that we can persuade you through this testimony. One example of a need right now is, you may recall, House Bill 3201, I think it was, that sets up a mapping process for the Walla Walla River Irrigation District. Senator Dukes just carried that on the floor yesterday.
And I carried it in the House.
Yeah. And the provisions of that bill required that the irrigation district carry the full freight of all of the costs of that process. And the department has shared with us that they anticipate that process alone for that one single district could take up to 2,000 man hours. The department simply doesn't have the resources to be able to handle such an issue of complexity. And because it is an irrigation district and it's an aggregate of a bunch of individuals, that district can choose whether or not they want to raise their rates for that year to be able to get some extra money to enter into a contract with the department. So I understand your concerns, but I think I would say your analogy of being in the DMV line and says now serving five and you're number 10,000, and if you pay, you can become number six. I think a more correct analogy would be that number six would continue to move through the line, but you just took with you 3,000 transactions in a separate but parallel voluntary line.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Christina, I understand that, and the Walla Walla bill made all the sense in the world to me. It fixed a specific problem. This is just carte blanche. And if your issue is aquatic herbicides, then why didn't you bring a more narrow bill that said we'd like to give permission to use this mechanism to deal with aquatic herbicides, given that that may, and I don't know anything about this, that may be a terribly complex, wide sweeping problem that affects many of your members. Ask for that relief rather than to set up a mechanism that looks so just patently inequitable on its face.
Senator Meserle and Representative Johnson, the aquatic herbicides example that I brought up is a statutory authority vested in the Department of Environmental Quality. And they have this statutory authority, and we entered into a receipts authority process to be able to transact those NPDES permits. What we did actually was lift that statutory authority, and we plagiarized that language from DEQ and tried to craft it so it would be the same types of opportunities for the Water Resources Department.
Senator Dukes.
Mr. Chair, I don't oppose the bill. Perhaps Representative Johnson and I are struggling with the same thing. I'd like to quantify it. I'd like to know that, we expect 15 people to use it in the next 2 years, and we expect them to pay about this much, and we expect to hire 3 consultants, and that's just the stuff we're traditionally accustomed to. So that's all I'm saying is it's very broad based, and probably would have struggled if we'd seen it 2 months ago, and actually it's sort of struggling now, I guess. But so I don't mean to be opposing it. Pilot projects are a nice thing to try. It's just that, we don't know if anybody's going to use it for sure. If they do, we don't have a clue how many. We don't know what the definitions are. We don't know how we're going to choose consultants. We're not absolutely sure we're going to choose them, which concerns me, because if we don't choose consultants, then I think the queue gets longer. So it's just those kinds of things. And, sure, I'll give it a try. But I think they're legitimate issues that probably ought to get sort of fleshed out. And if it's the emergency board fleshing it out, then I don't help people get sit on the emergency board.
Really, it'll be the department, I think, that'll be developing the criteria.
Okay. Chair Measurely, Senator Dukes, I think those are all really valid issues, and I apologize that I can't nail it down any better, but it's just really kind of uncharted waters for the department. But I think some of the things that we can do is we'd be more than happy to come back to any interim Natural Resources Committee to update that committee on the process, how it's going, the numbers, the dollars. And then having the sunset as well, I think, will give us all an opportunity to kind of stand back and look at the success or failure of the program. So I do appreciate your concerns.
Representative Krieger, I apologize. I've passed over you twice. Go ahead.
That's normal here. This committee.
Mr. Chair,
I think the criteria issue is going to clarify a lot of it when the department gets to that. If I was number 2 or 3 in the queue and I had someone that was taking up a huge amount of time and space and resources of the agency, and they're sitting there and they're blocking the process, I'm willing to let them buy that bigger ticket to get in the other line so I can get in there at my normal price. And I would get serviced quicker because that line's going to move forward. But actually, they're not having it. That's what's going to impact the guy who can't afford or doesn't need to, really.
Okay.
I think it's a good thing to look at and give them an opportunity to see if it's a pilot project. Let it move forward and see how it works.
Representative Morgan.
I would think that because there is no expenditure limitation here, there's just the ability to collect the money but not spend the money, that and this is a question, that it would necessitate that the department come before the emergency board or wherever when they finally need to spend the money. And at that point, it would be appropriate to get a check-in about what the program was developed to be before that authority was extended.
Mr. Chair, I think I'm happy if the agency understands that our expectation is that before you take people out of that queue over into their own line, that you've been back with an expenditure limitation, because it would frustrate me if we had people who were able to write a big check and therefore we used existing staff for them, thereby taking them away from people who had been in the line, and that's clearly not the intended bill. So just before you start giving extra service with existing staff, you should take, a brief as to what you're going to be doing, have the process all set up, and then come back, check in with us so that you're ready to go when you finally hit the ground, that you've got the criteria and you're able to take the money, hire the staff, and go on with this whole extra process.
Chair Measurely, and this may be a staff, LFO staff question. My understanding is, I'm kind of getting in an area beyond my expertise, my understanding is the department does have a reasonable amount of other fund limitation that we could go ahead and begin to exercise this program within that other fund limitation before we pushed up to that, and we'd actually need to come to the e-board and have a discussion about the fact that we're pushing up against that other fund limitation. So we will be back, is my assumption, once the program gets started, but I wouldn't think we would need to come back before we expend this revenue on the very first project, if that makes sense.
Let me ask Christina. We have two options here for sunset, January of 06 and January of 08. And I'll ask you the same question. What do you think would be appropriate?
Mr. Chair and members, we prefer that 08 limitation just because I have an expectation that's really going to take probably most of the next 2 years to put the processes in place and to have everything and everybody understand how it works. And frankly, for an irrigation district that levies those fees, they do it once a year to be able to collect the funds, figure out what it's going to cost, and all of that. And if it sunsets in 2006, as the Dash 3 amendment suggests, then we would be back here next session, probably without full information to present to you guys about making a decision. However, that being said, even the Dash 3 amendments would get this program off and running, and I would be happy with whatever the committee chooses.
Were you through with your presentation?
I was finished.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just in response to that question, I would agree with Christina that it may be hard to know enough about how the program is going to be implemented by next session. So I would prefer the later date. But again, we're interested in getting the program off the ground, and if the committee is more comfortable with the 06 date, we'd be fine with that. Let me just drop off this written testimony.
Sure.
Here. I really don't have much to add. I think we've covered most of the ground. I would just add that I think this bill really complements some of the activities that the department's involved in, which is trying to do more with less resources, streamlining, technology improvements, and our fee bill, which added some additional resources to the department. So I think this really just complements our push to try to provide service in an efficient and timely fashion. Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? With that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2251A. Open the work session on House Bill 2551A.
Shorter. Okay. Mr. Chair, I move Dash A3s into House Bill 2551 and move the bill as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
You heard the motion. Is there discussion of the motion? Objection to the motion?
I am going to object. It's not going to matter, but respectfully.
That's fine. Let the record show that Representative Johnson objects and motion carries. We need carriers. Representative Martin,
I'd like glad to carry him Golden on the House floor.
Okay. You want me to carry him? Okay.
Somebody asks a question, you don't want to hear my answer.
Yes.
Did you well vote for it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, great. There's a team player. For that, we close the work session on House Bill 2551A and adjourn the committee.
I just think so much of a